He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hid their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtor. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. In today's story, we're going to be in Mark 14, 32 through 42. We're going to be entering into a garden that Jesus and his disciples have spent plenty of time in, where their relationships have grown and cherished memories have bloomed. And yet in the moment that we step into, the moment that's being described occurs after the Last Supper, Judas is left to betray Christ into the hands of soldiers. And the only thing that is about to bloom here is suffering. And they went to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." And he took with him Peter and James and John, and began to be so greatly distressed and troubled. And he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch." And going a little further, he fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me, not what I will, but what you will." And he came and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "Simon, are you asleep? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And again he went away and prayed, saying the same words. And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. And he came the third time and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? It is enough. The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." In the Garden of Gethsemane, we are confronted with a problem that transcends race, that transcends ethics standards, that transcends social cultural norms. We are confronted with the problem of pain and suffering. When posed with this problem, Dr. John Lennox responded with a question that I think we all need to actually think about. Is there any evidence of a God that we can trust with suffering? In the Garden of Gethsemane, we see Jesus grappling with what has to be done, grappling with the fact that he has to drink from the cup of God's wrath. You see, this cup is so agonizing that it causes him so much pain that he falls down, so much pain that he begins to sweat blood. This cup is so agonizing, causing so much pain and suffering, that an angel is sent to comfort and strengthen him. And it is in this very moment, it is in this pain, in this suffering, this agonizing, we see God does not remain distant from pain. No. He has become intimately acquainted with it. In this moment, Jesus has become a man of sorrows. It is in the garden that Jesus shows us that God has not abandoned us to suffer. He hasn't just walked away. In fact, he did the opposite. He walked headfirst into suffering. He chose to become a part of it. He took on the suffering of the world that we may find redemption. His suffering was beyond anything we can comprehend, and yet through it, he opened a way for us to be reconciled to the Father. And despite the agony of knowing what lay ahead, he remained focused on his mission. He remained focused on the will of the Father. It's in this moment that we learn Jesus' sacrifice helps us to find hope in the midst of our suffering, because he cares for us. You see, in Mark 14, 32 through 42, and in fact, all the other gospel accounts of this story, we learn something about the disciples in the Gospel of Luke. The disciples have fallen asleep because their eyes were heavy with sorrow. And it's easy for us to look at him and say, how could you not keep watch? But actually, how many of us can relate? How many of us have been under so much pressure, under so much suffering and sorrow, that we try to tranquilize it with a nap? I know I have. In fact, it's in this moment I can relate to them. Because in the throes of this pain and sorrow, we just want to escape it. We want to close our eyes and drift away from the pain and the sorrow, even if temporary. And yet, in this moment, Jesus interrupts his prayer for himself. In the moment of his own agony and suffering, he comes to disciples not once, but three times. And yes, there is a little rebuke in his words, but there is care and concern. In fact, he says, keep watch and pray. Keep watch on me. Watch what I do as I suffer. Pray to the Father. Tell him of your suffering. Ask him for strength. Keep your focus on me. Even in his own suffering, he is worried for his followers. He is worried not about himself, or what he has to go through. He's worried about what they're about to go through. Peter, who would bitterly weep after denying his Lord and Savior three times. Peter, who for spreading the gospel would be crucified. He's worried about James, who according to church tradition was beheaded for spreading the gospel. And he's worried about John. John, because he wouldn't fall at the feet and worship a Roman emperor as God, because he walked with the true God. He was imprisoned on Patmos, where he receives a revelation of Christ. And it's beautiful because in this revelation, Christ shows us what happens, what he will do to pain and suffering. In Revelation 21, 3 through 5, our Lord and Savior says the following. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be pain, there's suffering, mourning, nor crying. For the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." It's also this moment we see that Jesus' care doesn't just isolate itself to the garden. No. In fact, in John 18, 1 through 9, we see it extend past the garden. John writes, "When Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples across the brook Kidron, where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered. Now Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, for Jesus often met there with his disciples. So Judas, having procured a band of soldiers and some officers from a chief priests and the Pharisees, went there with lanterns and torches and weapons. Then Jesus, knowing all that would happen to him, came forward and said to them, 'Whom do you seek?' And they answered him, 'Jesus of Nazareth.' Jesus said to them, 'I am he.' Judas, who betrayed him, was standing with them. And when Jesus said to them, 'I am he,' they drew back and fell to the ground. So he asked them again, 'Whom do you seek?' And they said, 'Jesus of Nazareth.' And Jesus answered, 'I told you, I am he. So if you seek me, let these men go.' This was to fulfill the word that he had spoken, 'Of those whom you gave me, I have not lost one.'" You see, Jesus stands from this moment of prayer, suffering, pain, and agony. And his primary focus is on the will of the Father. And in this moment, he shows care for his disciples. He shows triumphant victory as he stands and goes out the very way that he came in. He doesn't run through the trees. He doesn't shadowly try to escape. He charges headfirst at his betrayer and the men who would falsely imprison him. And he stands triumphant. And in that moment, the only thing that he cares about are his followers. Gethsemane can be hard for us to read and reflect on. In this moment, the cost of our redemption is highlighted and displayed before us in a way that is painful to swallow. However, it is also in this moment that we can find comfort. Comfort in the fact that Jesus willingly suffered to pay for our sins. Comfort in the fact that God does not remain indifferent from the problem of pain and suffering, but instead chose to become a part of it on our behalf. That even in his worst moments, he cares for us. He will strengthen us. And no matter what we are going through, no matter who tries to hurt us or harm us or what pain and suffering may come our way, he will protect us. Lord, thank you for today and the blessings that you give. Thank you for the suffering that you endured at the Garden of Gethsemane for us. Thank you for drinking the cup of God's wrath. Thank you for not running, for going forward. Forward to a false trial, forward to crown of thorns and mocking, to whip lashes that would cut to the bone. To carrying a rugged wooden cross and being nailed to it in such a way that to breathe would only bring more suffering. Lord, thank you for doing all of that on our behalf, for helping us to be reconciled to God. Amen.